Well, good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see you listening in this evening again, and we thank you very much. We do welcome you for listening in, and we pray tonight that the Lord will indeed meet with us and bless us once again in our own homes around the precious word of the living God. I want to simply speak on a wee simple subject tonight, one that's been very near and dear to me over recent days, and it's just simply the subject of the place. There's three places that we want to take a look at this evening in the gospel. And I want to be as simple and plain as I possibly can. Therefore, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 19. Again, a very well-known, familiar passage of Scripture, one that the boys and girls would know really, really well. And we want to take a wee look at just a wee phrase here also in this chapter. Verse 1 of chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke. And it says these words, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Just let us bow in a wee word of prayer and seek the face of the Lord, praying tonight that the Lord might come and meet with us, wherever that might be. Loving Father in heaven, we once again thank you for the public reading of thy precious truth that's so important to our lives. We thank thee for this occasion that happened in the life of this Zacchaeus in the town of Jericho. And we thank thee, Father, for the wonderful work of grace that was wrought in his heart. And we pray tonight, as we would look at this passage and others that will parallel with it, we pray that thou would write this truth upon our hearts this evening. Lord, be pleased just to close us in with thyself. We pray that you would take away every distracting thought. And we pray that our minds and our hearts might be opened to our great need of salvation tonight, and that thou would give that deciding grace, whereby sinners might come and learn what it is to put their trust in the Savior and know life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I, this evening, folks, have read a very well-known familiar passage of the Word of God. If you're familiar with the Bible, maybe some of you aren't, but I want you to listen carefully. In the earlier chapter of the book, chapter 18, you will discover something that the Lord Jesus had been with his disciples. And as he was with his disciples, he drew them aside in the verse 31, and he had something to say to them there. Verse 31 of chapter 18, it says these words, Then Jesus took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. What are those things? Well, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. They shall scourge Jesus and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And what we learn from this particular account given to the disciples is that it had come to the point of time where the Lord Jesus was setting his face as a flint to go towards Jerusalem. The reason being, he was going to pay the ultimate price. He was going to become our substitute and take our place and to die in our room instead. The Lord Jesus, as he was on his journey on this occasion, in through chapter 18, the end of that chapter, we discover he came to a man and his name was blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was healed that day, and not only was he healed physically, but he was healed spiritually. And his life was changed forever because the Bible tells us that he began to follow the Lord. But as the Lord Jesus continues on his journey, we discover here into the chapter 19 that he passed through Jericho. And within the walls of the city, there was a man called Zacchaeus. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. And we can see he was rich. He wasn't very well liked. It is said by some that he most likely might have took more taxes off the people than were expected in order to fill his own pockets. I can't be sure. But this one thing I do know, that this little man, Zacchaeus, who was a publican, he was a tax collector and he was rich. The Bible says, as he heard that about the Lord Jesus coming to his town, coming to that same vicinity in which he lived, the Bible says the reaction of Zacchaeus was this, that he sought to see Jesus who he was. The reason he wanted to see the Lord Jesus who he was, is because like blind Bartimaeus, he had heard so many stories about what he had done. He had heard about the miracles that he had performed. And he had heard so much that there was a hunger and a thirst in his heart just to see who this man was. He sought to see who he was. His problem was he was very small. His problem was he wasn't liked, and as the crowd thronged the Lord Jesus, as he sought to see Jesus, we see that because of his size and because he wasn't liked by the crowd, he could not see him because of the press, because of the crowd, because of his he was little of stature, and therefore his reaction was that he ran before the crowd, before where Jesus was, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was aware that Jesus was to pass. He was to pass that way. Now, he didn't want to see him to be saved. It was more of an act of curiosity. And he just wanted to see this man that he had heard so much about. He wanted to see this man because he recognized that no matter where he went, there was always a multitude around him. And he wanted to see him for himself. Therefore, we can see him, and he's up on that sycamore tree, and he's sitting on the end of that branch. And as he waits, for he's aware that the Lord Jesus is to pass that way. And the Bible tells me, as the Lord drew near to the tree, as he came near to the place where Zacchaeus was, the Bible tells me in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, Jesus looked up and Jesus saw him. And Jesus said unto him, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I want to tell you that though he wasn't liked by the crowd of the town, yet the Lord loved him. Though he was a lost soul on his road to a lost eternity, that's the reason why the Lord Jesus had come. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And as he sat on that tree at that place on that day, he got more than he bargained for. Because when the Lord came to the place, the Lord stopped. And in the midst of the commotion, in the midst of the multitude, the Lord looked him in the eye. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, he knew him by name. Well, Zacchaeus had never met him before. And the Lord had never met Zacchaeus. But you'll notice this, he knew where he was. And he knew who he was. The Lord knows all of our hearts. And he was a man who was a sinner on his road to a lost eternity. And yet the Lord loved him. And the Lord stopped with him. And the Lord called him unto himself. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thine house. Now with that call of the Lord, there comes a responsibility to the one who has been called. And he must react to the call of God. In response to the call of the Lord, we read in verse 6 that Zacchaeus made haste and came down. And he received Jesus joyfully. It was a day that his life was changed forever. It was a day when he found peace with God through the blood of his cross. It was a day when he came to know the Lord Jesus as his own and personal Savior. Just like blind Bartimaeus, he knew that this one who stood before him was none other than the promised Messiah who would become the Savior of the world. I want to ask you a question this evening. Have you ever heard God's call to your heart? The Bible says that you're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible says that each and every one of us are sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And dear friend, you too need to respond. You need to respond to the call of God. Thank God, Zacchaeus came down and he received Jesus joyfully. And the Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Now when the crowd saw it, they reacted. Verse 7 says, and when they saw it, they were all murmured, saying that he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, they knew about him. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, he says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in the book of Corinthians. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what happened in the heart and in the life of this wee man. For the Lord Jesus said unto him, this day salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Thank the Lord for the day that Jesus came to that place to meet with that person, to pardon him from his sin. Not only do I have this place, but there's another place. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, and we have another place. And this is the place exactly where the Lord was speaking about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, as he spoke to his disciples, and he talked to them about going to Jerusalem and saying that all those things that were spoken of by the prophets must be fulfilled concerning himself, and how he was to suffer, and how he was to die. Well, dear friend, here we have another place. And here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, we have the Lord Jesus. And where is he? He's now before Pilate. He had been arrested. He had been brought before Pilate. Pilate had tried his very best not to have him to be crucified. He even offered that a well-known prisoner, a man called Barabbas, he said, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Barabbas was a vile man. And the reason he done this is because he knew that for envy they had delivered him. But the chief priests, the Bible tells us, persuaded the multitude, what? That they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. And that's exactly what they did. You see, as you go down to chapter 27, you'll discover the fulfillment of those things that were written by the prophets in the Old Testament. You'll discover that Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made. He eventually took water and he washed his hands before the multitude. And he said to the multitude, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And they answered all the people. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and on our children. Then they released Barabbas. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, oh, it was a terrible thing, the scourging stone. They took the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb. They put him over that stone and they scourged him. And they left that body of the Lord Jesus like a ploughed field. They lifted lumps of his skin from him. His innards were hanging out. And after they'd scourged him, the Bible tells us here, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and they gathered the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped Jesus, and they put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before Jesus and mocked Jesus, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and they smote him in the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and they put his own raiment on him. And where did they lay him? They led him away to be crucified. They led him away to crucify him. Now watch it. Watch this here. Take a look there at verse 33. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha. That is to say, the place of the skull. It was there they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. Why? That when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. Why? Because it's there they crucified him, and they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down they watched him there. Watched him where? At the place called Golgotha. At the place called Calvary. You see, dear friend, listen. Though you and I are sinners, as the Bible plainly states we are, Jesus Christ has paid the ultimate price for our salvation. The Bible tells me this. It says, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, dear friend, Jesus Christ was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He knew no sin. He did no sin. But yet he took our sin and our sorrows, and he made them his very own. And he bore the burden to Calvary. And there he suffered and he died alone. And there, hanging between heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, God's Son, became our substitute. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. You see, dear friend, the old hymn writer had it right when they penned those lovely words. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. Christ only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And I want to say this evening, dear friend, wherever you may be, whatever you have done, I don't care. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in, but it's at Calvary's cross is where we begin as we come as a sinner to Jesus. What a price he paid. We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver nor gold, but by the precious, precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died an atoning death for thee. He died an atoning death. Oh, wondrous love. It was for me. He died an atoning death. Can I go to one more place in finishing? Not only have we been at the place of salvation where Zacchaeus was called by the Lord, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Not only have we seen the place of sacrifice where the ultimate price was paid in order that sinful man might be reconciled to God at the place called Calvary, but there's another place. And this is a terrible place. You'll find this place mentioned in the book of Luke, chapter 16. And I'm just going to read two verses. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. What a sad place that is. This man had five brothers. He was known in the Bible as a rich man. He lived at the same time as a beggar named Lazarus. And the two men knew that they needed to repent, for except you repent, you'll perish. But only one listened and responded. And when the day came that Lazarus died, the Bible tells us that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And tonight I want to say this, Lazarus in glory with the Lord. The Bible also says a rich man also died. And he was buried. And some people think that that is the end. Dear friend, verse 23 says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. And seeth Abraham afar off and Nazareth in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Your friend, he's lost. He made his choice on this scene of this side of eternity. He refused to repent, to receive Christ as his Savior. And he's lost. And he's lost forever. But though he was lost, listen, he didn't want his family to be lost with him. And that's why we read verse 27 and 28. Now listen. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Would you send someone to my brothers and warn them? Lest they also come to the place where I am. And dear friend, that's what I'm seeking to do tonight. To simply warn you to flee from the wrath which is to come. To flee to Christ, the one that went the whole way to the place called Calvary. There died in your room instead. The promise is this, that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. And just like Zacchaeus came and received Jesus joyfully, so can you. And if you're willing to come, this is what the Lord does. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Will you come tonight? Will you come now? Will you please come before it's ever too late? May God give you the grace to come. And wherever you are, just where you're sitting, you can just simply come now. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you loved me and you died for me. The place called Calvary. And there you shed your precious blood in order that I might be saved. I'm willing now to repent of my sin. I want to receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Dear friend, you can do it now. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you are concerned, please contact the church fellowship here. And if we can help in any way, we will. May God bless you in these days. And bless his word to your heart tonight. In Jesus' name. Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting your word in the gospel. We thank you for that place in Jericho, which was a place of salvation for Zacchaeus. We thank you for the place called Calvary, where the ultimate price was paid for our redemption. In your own precious crimson ruby blood. And we thank you because of Calvary, we'll never be in the place called hell. Those who are willing to repent of their sin and receive Christ as their Savior, to be born again of the Spirit of the living God. And for any out there, dear Father, who's listening to this message this evening, we pray that they might indeed hear beyond the voice of man, and that the Spirit of Lord, the Lord himself, might do that work which only thou canst do. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.